local person makes good. The local community all want to publicise the fact and celebrate their achievement. To have that claim to fame. In the light of that, the response of the people here that Jesus has grown up amongst in today's passage makes it quite surprising. What we see in today's gospel is quite a different response. One that leaves Jesus amazed at their disbelief. A depth of response that we only hear him described as having in response to the centurion's faith in the rest of the gospel. This tells us that it must have been a dramatic reaction from the local people for him to be so taken aback. He's totally confounded by his home community's response to him. In the previous chapter, we hear about how his family had come for him because they thought that he was behaving oddly. Mary had known who Jesus was and his call to ministry. Yet even had come for him to protect him from the response of the crowds. And Jesus had identified those doing the will of God as his family, appearing to demote the significance of having a birth family in that previous paragraph to this reading, on the surface, of course. It's interesting that his townspeople refer to his trade as carpenter, and that he's Mary's son, rather than Mary and Joseph's son, possibly suggesting that part of his credibility is affected by the community gossip that might have gone around casting doubt over his parentage, some commentators believe. In a society where status was fixed at birth by your parentage and your father's trade, honour and status were important to how well people would hear what you had to say. And the comments of the crowd underline to us the struggles that we have in our human understanding to redefine people that we've put into a pigeonhole when they show something different about themselves. Eugene Peterson's informal translation in the Message is perhaps quite helpful here. Because people think they know who Jesus is, he says, they end up asking disdainfully, who does he think he is? Indeed, throughout Mark's Gospel, there is a theme of Jesus asking, who do you or others say that I am? By posing this question and regularly asking us to think about our answer, Mark is encouraging us to confess our personal faith in Jesus and to declare him to be our Saviour. Who do we say that he is in our lives? So this passage today is clearly an important passage, as the account of Jesus' reception in his hometown appears in Matthew and Luke's Gospels as well, with differing degrees of response from the crowds to Jesus' teaching. So it's clearly something important that the Gospel writers are wanting us to learn here about faith and our free will to choose whether or not to believe. Many had been amazed, we're told, at his teaching in the synagogue and the healings that had taken place. Yet something was getting in the way of how people saw him. Mark makes a point of stressing people's depth of disbelief more than the other gospel writers. The reality is that the people of Nazareth were simply not ready to take on board what Jesus was saying and doing. Their despair over their circumstances had hardened their hearts to resist the healing love of Jesus breaking into their lives. The evidence of their eyes and hearts through the healings that he did achieve in his hometown were just not enough to break through this blink of view and convince them. Of course, Jesus could have forced them to believe by performing a chain of miracles that would have left them in absolutely no doubt about his identity. Instead, he lays aside his power and gives them time to repent and soften their hearts towards him by being meek and patient, even whilst incredulous, allowing his grace to pour out and to be available to all. The healings that happened, those few that are mentioned, are happening regardless of whether people have faith or no faith, or need help with their unbelief, just as people all across society do today. And this needs us to be prepared to receive him into our lives. And until then, we're not fully prepared to truly hear his word and understand the signs that we're witnessing. Jesus often meets us in our time of weakness when we turn to him and are ready to receive his healing touch. So why would they remain stuck in disbelief rather than open their hearts and minds to embrace this miraculous mystery? Returning to the passage, it's striking in all accounts of this time in Jesus' ministry that he's limited in the miracles that he can perform because of the unbelief of the people. A miracle isn't just an event in itself, but it's also the interpretation that people put upon the event that happens. If we look at wider society today, when people have been miraculously healed through prayer, you'll find that people who don't have a faith will come up with all sorts of biological and scientific explanations about how that healing could have happened. We need to be open to seeing it through the lens of faith. So if people are saying in the crowds that Jesus isn't seen as capable of healing, then what he does will be interpreted through a very different filter. And this leads to his pronouncement that prophets are honoured anywhere except among their hometown and family, which declares a significant truth to us. Prophets do live on the margins, declaring God's truth into challenging situations, and his love and peace into our lives. Their words challenge us and make us uncomfortable, and in doing so, make boasting in them carry risks in our own lives as to how others might see us. We only need to consider the lives of our persecuted brothers and sisters across the world to see that. For others, our profession of faith merely puts us a little out of step with some in society. For others, it's a matter of life and death. Had Jesus stuck with the carpentry and excelled at it, the townspeople would have possibly found it easier to sing his praises. Today, to boast in Jesus can be a socially awkward thing in some contexts. So Jesus' invitation to his townspeople through his ministry and to us today is to step outside those comfort zones, to embrace who he is, and to live our lives bravely trusting in him. So let us pause for a moment to reflect on where he's calling us to trust in him and seek his help in doing so.